Hey mom, does this sound familiar? You encourage your daughter to read her Bible and she says something like,
Mom, I don't get it.
It's so boring.
I don't have time, Mom. We get it. Sometimes getting her to love God's word seems impossible.
That's exactly why we created the True Girl Pop-Up Party Weekend for you.
It's a whole weekend designed to break through those barriers. Friday night kicks it off with worship and a Bible teaching to put you in the driver's seat of the conversation.
Saturday morning, you'll dive into God's Word together in a mom-daughter workshop, and she'll learn the 4Z method of Bible study created for girls her age.
It's fun and it's faith building. You'll worship together, you'll learn together, and mom, you'll leave ready to build her faith like never before.
I'm Dana Gresh.
And I'm Shani McKenzie. And we want to hang with you.
We're coming to California, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. We'd love to see you at the True Girl Pop-Up Party.
Hey, Mom. So I really wanted to connect with my daughter and help her grow closer to Jesus. But finding age-appropriate tools wasn't happening until I discovered the True Girl subscription box. Each box is packed with biblically-based tools like a mom and daughter date, devos written just for girls, and curated gifts and surprises. My daughter can't wait for each box to arrive. And hey, I found myself digging into God's Word more as a result. Check it out at mytruegirl.com.
Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a little, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters because motherhood is hard. But guess what? You are not alone. I'm Shani McKenzie, and I'll be joined by my friend Dana Gresh. Moms, the mommy war is real. Whether you stay at home or you work outside the home, chances are you felt the pressure to explain or defend your parenting choices. And with trad wife culture gaining traction, the battle lines, they seem more defined than ever. So in this episode, we're going to break through the noise with a gospel-centered conversation about personal conscience and mom guilt. Today, we want to replay a powerful conversation originally released on Revive Our Hearts. Dana, tell us about it.
This conversation, Shani, when I was taping it in the middle of it, I knew we had to share it with the True Girl audience. I've been no stranger to the mommy wars since the moment I conceived. Mm-hmm. It just was everywhere. Mm. And I've never heard a conversation that tackled it as biblically as this one and settled things in my heart, decisions that I made years ago and still felt like, was that the right call? Mm-hmm. This gave me permission to make those decisions. The conversation is with Emily Jensen and Laura Wiffler. Now, they were the founders of Risen Motherhood. Mm. Talk about moms who are governed by the Spirit and their personal conscience. They sunsetted that very, very successful ministry just a few months ago. Mm. Their content is still up online, but only for one more year. And then they're taking it off because they feel like they need to protect their children. They've been talking about their children. Now that their children are entering their teen years, they feel like they need to erase that content.
Wow.
That is a big and bold decision. And you are going to have courage to make big and bold decisions after you hear this conversation, originally recorded for Revive Our Hearts. Let's listen. You know, this conversation takes me from the introduction to one of your wonderful, is it appendix? Is it, what's the plural for appendix?
Appendices?
I don't know. But you talk in there about personal conscience. And that is one of the factors in making a decision as a mom. It's not all written down for us in black and white in the scripture, right? And I think there are a lot of really hard, I'm gonna say some inflammatory, hard things that we grapple with. I'm not gonna ask you to answer them directly, but I am gonna ask you to answer them categorically. How do we approach it? But I'm thinking of to homeschool or not to homeschool, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. How old is a child when they're ready to be baptized or experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Sugar or no sugar? I mean, you could go on and on, right? These are issues that we can lean on the wisdom of Scripture, but it's not written in black and white for us. How do we go about both entering into being aware of our own personal conscience? And how do we respect the personal decisions of other mothers?
Yeah. So this is a pretty big, complex topic. And I think once
Laura and I sort of unlocked this or understood this, it helped us both walk forward with so much more freedom in motherhood. So I think this is a topic that if someone is like, I've never heard of this before, like, this is worth studying. This is worth learning about and understanding, because your personal conscience is your individual sense of right and wrong, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And so we have to realize that as we grow up, we are formed. Like, our moral compass is formed, our worldview is formed, our sense of what's good and what's bad and what's normal and what's not normal is formed by so many factors, right? Like what our family did, whether or not we liked what our family did. Did we grow up in a rural area? Did we grow up in an urban area? You know, were we in a conservative political area? Were we in a liberal political area? What was our experience of childhood and our perception of the world? Were we rebellious? Were we someone who followed the rules all the time? You know, all of these different things and more contribute little nugget by little nugget by little nugget to our sort of innate sense of whether or not something is good and bad. Now, when we become a believer and we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are reading the Word of God, that is ultimately our big T truth, moral compass. But we often don't realize that we are bringing all of this other stuff, all of our experiences, all of our biases, all of our, again, these sort of like, this is the way I've been shaped, nurtured, formed to the Word of God. And so it can just make it difficult. And that is where wisdom comes into play. And that over time, the goal is to align your personal conscience with the Word of God more and more and more. But it gets really tricky, because every Christian, I think, I would like to think, would agree it is a sin to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk to person A, person B, person C, especially even depending on what culture they're from, may have a little bit of a different definition as to what lying means in a specific situation, or even what telling the truth means in a certain situation. And I think that's part of why we see in the Word of God that we need to obey our consciences, and that if we're ever doing something that we knowingly think is wrong, for us, that is sin. So it's kind of like saying, hey, insofar as you believe you are obeying God, like, do that, keep praying, keep reading the Word of God, and over time, hopefully, you will come more and more in line with His Word. Okay, so that's kind of like,
well,
the undergirding.
I have two questions about that. I want to keep on this trail. This is very important. But my first question is, where in the Bible does it say we should be following our conscience? I want to land on that. I want to make sure that for anybody
yes.
who's like, wait, aren't we supposed to follow the Word of God? Aren't we supposed to follow the Spirit of God? This sounds a little woo-woo to me. Give me a scripture verse, Emily.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it's Romans 14, and I'll find like the exact verse, but Romans 14 really talks about weak and strong consciences if somebody wants to go. And this is where Paul is writing and talking about someone who is only able to like eat vegetables and not eat like the full gamut of food. So Paul's talking specifically about food, which we don't necessarily always relate to, but he's essentially talking about, hey, if you feel like you are called to still only eat certain foods, like the Jews, you know, had very strict food requirements, he's like, then follow that conscience. Even though we know from Peter that God had actually allowed them to eat all different types of food. So that's what that chapter is talking about, and it's talking about conscience. Emily, did you find a specific verse yet?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of these. Like I said, this is like a really good topic to mm-hmm. go explore.
This is like the whole podcast could be
I know,
this.
I know. Okay, this is one kind of offhanded comment that we read in Acts. I believe that this is Paul. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. And this is an example of a time where he is saying, hey, I want to act towards others and before God in a way that I don't have that yucky feeling that I have done something wrong.
Mm.
I think he's not just saying, yes, I want to follow the Holy Spirit, but I also want to live in such a way that I can say I am doing good. Mm-hmm. And I want to have that clarity of conscience before the Lord and before others.
Yeah, that's good. I think about James 4:17, I think it is. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So that falls into that category. It doesn't even say the word conscience, thankfully. But listen, let me play the devil's advocate. So let's say I just want to go about gossiping about somebody because I don't have a conscience or I'm not aware that the Bible says something. Like, are you saying we have a license to do whatever we feel like doing?
No. So I think also what we're diving into might be a little bit like maturity and immaturity, mm-hmm. right? Someone who is like, I don't know that the Bible doesn't say I can't gossip. Like if they literally don't know, I mean, they are still sinning, but the Holy Spirit may not have convicted them of that yet or grown them in that yet because they're very new and immature in their faith. And like that's someone... Right. They need brothers and sisters to come alongside them and say, ooh, let me help you think about this topic. Right. I think that where personal conscience comes into play, if we can try to bring it more concrete, and then I'll let Laura talk about those big topics that you mentioned.
You're going to pass it off to her. Here you go. It's getting a little deep in here, Laura. So we're calling you in.
it's like a holiday. Mm-hmm. Some moms and dads may feel like, hey, we cannot participate in anything related to Halloween. We have this example in our book. Some Christian parents may say, hey, we see a way in which there is a redemptive way to participate in Halloween. That's not clearly spelled out in scripture with the word Halloween. There's principles that apply. There's biblical wisdom that applies. But in that, there is room for both people to be saying that their hearts must be saying, I'm doing this to honor God. I have scriptural support for what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I am, insofar as I can understand, trying to live in a way that is faithful. But in their context, that might look different. And so I feel like that is such a key. It's like, again, you know, we talk about school a lot. Like, our kids are going to a school in central Iowa where the town, I may be making this up, like 500 people. Laura, does that sound right?
It's small. Yeah.
Okay. Like that decision is very different from someone who might be in an urban school district on the West Coast. I don't, like, those are not apples to apples.
Absolutely, 100% different.
Okay, so Laura.
I can tell you, I've been in California all year long. It's a very different experience to have your child in the public school system in California than almost anywhere else in the United States right now.
Yes.
Agreed.
What gets so hard is that so often, particularly with the rise of the internet, we are receiving advice from people that are not living a life that is anything like ours. In fact, we're receiving schooling advice from the West Coast mom who is saying, do not do this. That is unbiblical. That would be wrong. The exposures are too much, whatever it is. And then we're coming back to our, let's say, rural small town life and saying, well, this is what this person said who's a good Christian, so I now must do this. But instead, one of our heartbeats at Risen Mothers is to show mom actually the enormous freedoms she has in following Christ. And that is being in line with her conscience, but also seeing where the Holy Spirit is convicting her. Because our goal as Christians is to make our conscience more and more aligned to the Holy Spirit's truth, right? Yes. So as Emily said at the beginning, they're not perfectly aligned, our conscience and the Holy Spirit. But as we grow in maturity, those two things should become closer and closer and closer. They'll never match up. They'll never be exactly the same until heaven. Mm-hmm. But that's the opportunity of growth and sanctification that we have as a Christian. And as our conscience grows stronger, Paul mm-hmm. talks about it being stronger in Romans 14. That means that you actually understand the depth of freedom that you have in Christ, that you do have freedom to make some school choices. You do have freedoms in medical treatments. You do have freedoms in whether or not you celebrate Halloween or how you do birthday parties or Christmas or whatever. As you see those freedoms that you have as a mom, well, then actually what starts to happen is that your tolerance level for most things, you start to be able to say, okay, I see that these other people feel very, very strongly that, you know, you do not celebrate Halloween ever, 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 ever. And there's no wiggle room. But when you have a stronger conscience, you start to see, oh, I actually can see where people come to this at different places. And so while you still hold your convictions and your beliefs and you are called to continue to walk in them, oftentimes you'll notice that that person is actually not quite as loud about mm-hmm. what decisions to make. They're usually a little more at peace. Things don't rattle them quite as much when you start to kind of see the full gamut of God's good design for his people. And I think the example of birthday parties is a really good one. I grew up and my mom did not give a lot of birthday parties to us kids. Birthdays were really simple. You picked your own dinner and that was about it that we did to celebrate birthdays. But as I had children of my own, I kind of followed in her footsteps, right? I did kind of the same thing. Birthdays are really low key, like it's not a big deal around here. But I saw a lot of my friends were throwing these really big, awesome birthday parties. And there was a lot of time and energy put into them. And their child seemed to be so loved, right? They just felt all the affirmation. So I started feeling guilt as a mom and thinking, oh, I must not be a very good mom because I don't even desire to do this. Should I, God? Like, should that be a desire of my heart? Should that be something I do? Is that a way that I need to show love to my children and be a good mom, right? That was like the equation for me. It wasn't just like, oh, should I do this? But does that make me a good mom in your standing, Lord? And I went through a season where I felt like I needed to throw these big birthday parties. And it was almost like anti who I naturally am.
You threw a couple of really epic birthday parties, Laura.
Some really big parties.
I can remember totally. Them.
But my children were like 2, 3, and 4, right? That hasn't happened since. But I realized I was doing that out of a striving and out of a desire to sort of keep up with other moms and to earn my good mom status. And what understanding the conscience and understanding what really God is commanding from a good mom, that actually frees you then to walk fully in to the mom that God created you to be. And that I don't have to throw big birthday parties. I can if I want. There's freedom to do that.
Yeah.
But if that's not in like my natural push and pull and DNA and desires, then like having simple birthdays is totally fine. And so I think that's like a small example, but it's a big area where if we can really get this under our skin of, oh, that's actually my conscience firing and my conscience needs to change to more align with the Holy Spirit's commands, then we actually begin to experience freedom.
See, you're talking to every woman, not just the moms, but this is such an important conversation for motherhood because it does produce peace and freedom to live the way God wants us to live. As a mom with a gift of teaching, with the gift of praying for people, I love interceding with people one-on-one. I always felt deflated by baking cookies and all of those like hospitality things, but I felt guilty if I didn't do it.
Exactly.
But when I figured out that the gifts that Christ gave me for the body were not baking cookies, even though I really do love baking cookies, especially love eating them, I had the freedom to say, you know what, I am going to participate in this potluck after church because we all need to participate, but I don't have to show up with, you know, a Joanna Gaines quality platter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show up. I'm going to stop by the bakery on the way. I'm bringing cupcakes from the best bakery in town. What freedom that provided for me as a mother to where I did have time to do the extra things outside of the home that the Lord was giving me a heart to do. Yeah. The other thing that I think this concept exploring does for moms is it stops the mommy wars, which can address the mommy guilt. Tell us what you have discovered through your research at Risen Motherhood about mommy guilt and how it ties into this.
Yeah, mom guilt is so universal. We have conducted a few Risen Motherhood surveys, and we've had nearly 10,000 moms complete them. So that's a pretty good survey of Christian moms. And 97% have said that they struggle with mom guilt. So my first question is, can I please meet the 3% and understand what they're doing so that we don't all have mom guilt? But for 97%, it truly is this universal feeling for so many of us. And just like you were sharing of, hey, I'm not not baking and cooking enough, and therefore am I a bad mom? And I'm thinking, hey, I have birthday parties and I'm not throwing them to whatever status I believe I should. Those are feelings of guilt. What we're feeling is guilt and shame of believing that we're not enough, and that at the end of the day, who God made us wasn't quite right, that he didn't get it right. And so as we look at guilt, I think the exciting thing about being a Christian is that you don't have to live with it. And you can take your guilt, you can pick it up, and you can look at it and say, okay, what am I really feeling here? I am feeling bad because I don't throw very good birthday parties, or I don't even want, that's not a desire in my life to throw big birthday parties and do all these crafts. And then you can say, okay, is that something that God commands for his people? Mm-hmm. And we can then search scripture. We can have conversations with women wiser than us. We can talk with our husbands. We can talk with other friends, and we can see that, okay, nope, there's no command here. There's a command to love your children. There's a command to care for your neighbors, to serve them, to show them the gospel, to give them truth and scripture, and to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. But there's nothing that says that, hey, big parties are a big part of being a good mom. And so from there, you can say, okay, that's, I don't need to feel guilt for that. But also you can say, well, is there anywhere in this that I'm sinning? And I think when it comes to guilt, sometimes that guilt comes because we have actually violated God's laws and commands. And so that may be something where we're feeling like, hey, I watched something on TV that I shouldn't have watched, or I engaged in a book that I shouldn't have read. And could there be freedom to watch that show or read that book? Potentially. But for you, you know that, hey, this is not what God has called me to do. And so that's the great part, is we can confess our sin, and we know that God is faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And so then we can walk forward in freedom because we've repented. When we turn away from that, we don't engage in it again, and we don't have guilt anymore. We can walk as daughters of the King. And so I think that that is so great, because moms live with this low hum of mom guilt. Like, that's what the survey shows, is that everybody's living with a low hum. But the hope of the gospel is that that's actually not, doesn't have to be a reality for us, that we can take our guilt, we can look at it, we can analyze it, we can pray and ask the Lord to show us what to do with it, and then we can eradicate it.
Laura, that's such good stuff. I think we need to remember when we feel that guilt, it's an invitation to check in with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And say, is there something here you're trying to address in my heart and my life? Which brings us back to the topic of the gospel. Emily, what is a gospel mom?
Yes. So a gospel mom is someone who has her life oriented around God and his word. I think that in motherhood, there are so many things that we're tempted to link ourselves to. There's so many words we want to use to define ourselves and our identity. A little bit throughout this show, we've been talking about, you know, what kind of formula, what's the right answer. And I think in motherhood, we're hopeful that, like, okay, I can find a strategy or a method or a lifestyle, or, you know, just this picture of motherhood that I'm going to cobble together. And then if I can do that, I will be good. And what we want moms to do is to say, look, strategies, methods, sometimes lifestyle choices, all these things can be good, but we don't grip onto them with an iron grip. We don't orbit our lives around them. We don't stand on those things as the foundation. We stand on Jesus Christ as the foundation. We build everything around him. And then we come to God with open hands about what he might bring into our lives and what tools, strategies, methods he might have us use at different times for different reasons as he leads us to love our families.
Ah, that was so good. We're ending these mommy wars.
That's right.
We're ending them today. And here's what's beautiful, right? When Christ is a foundation, we're free. We're free from the pressure to get everything perfect. We're free from the fear of failing our families. Hello? We're free from constantly chasing the next best method or trend. Instead, we get to build with God. Imagine that. With him. Using whatever tools, whatever strategies he leads us to. And just at the right time, right? For the right season. And our hands stay open. our hearts, they stay surrendered, and our identity, which is of utmost importance, stays anchored in Christ.
Amen.
And that's what creates lasting freedom, because our confidence isn't in our routines or our resources. It's in the one who never changes. I'm telling you, Dana, freedom grows when we stop clinging to control.
That's right.
And we just start trusting the God who loves our families more than we do.
That's right? Right. Yep.
Amen. Well, that was Dana interviewing Laura Wiffler and Emily Jensen. And they were talking about their book titled Gospel Mom. You can go grab a copy of that book wherever books are sold. So go get that book, end those mommy wars, and be free in Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what else you need to do? You need to go to mytruegirl.com and get your tickets for True Girl pop-up party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on out. Dana, we just came off of our
first
Girl pop-up
one.
Party here in
here
State
in Pennsylvania.
College.
It was amazing. You know, Shani, watching these girls open up God's word, learn a method of studying it so they use it accurately and understand it, and seeing that eureka moment in their eyes when they're like, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And even the moms.
That's the part, Dana, too. Just watching moms feel like they're equipped.
Yes. Yes.
Like, oh, I can walk through the Bible with my daughter and she's interested.
Right.
You know, she's engaged. And I can do this.
Yep.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
Too.
I loved it.
So our next one is this month in California.
Yay. Oh, that's so sad. California.
It's so sad. Southern California,
even worse.
San Clemente, no less.
Yes, San Clemente.
Yes, so you can add on some extra time with your daughter in that area. You can also add on an afternoon beach party.
Oh, stop.
With Shani McKenzie and Dana Grish.
I'm coming. I'm going. Well, can I be there?
You have to be there.
Yes. Yes. Oh, nothing like studying the word at the beach.
Yeah. So we are actually going to study Romans 1:20, that we see God's character and power in creation. And I don't know about you, but I feel it so powerfully when I'm standing at the edge of the ocean.
I'm telling you. It's so vast.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So go to mytruegirl.com right now. Get your tickets to California, or we also have this fall events in Texas and Wisconsin.
Yes.
The True Girl pop-up party.
You're going to be there. You should be there too. We'll see you then. Mom, this month we're helping your daughter become courageous in Christ, because knowing that God is with her gives her the confidence to share her faith boldly. And that's why we're shipping the Adventure Box for the month of July. Inside this box, she'll find everything she needs to take the good news of Jesus on the go. First up, the cutest stationery kit. It's perfect for writing notes that share the love of Christ with friends and family. And wait for it, the paper can be folded into a paper airplane. Yes, you heard that right. Sharing the gospel just got more fun and a whole lot more airborne. We're also including True Girl pencils for writing those encouraging notes, plus an adorable Croc pencil case with some travel-themed Croc charms to give it that adventurous flair. Whether she's headed to school or church, these tools will remind her she's on a mission for Jesus. And because courage comes from truth, your girl will dig into powerful daily devotionals to help her understand God's love and grow brave enough to share it. Each one is designed to build her confidence one scripture at a time. You'll also find a special mom-daughter date inside to help you both kick off your gospel sharing adventure together. So grab your box, open it up, and get ready to help your girl live out her faith boldly, because wherever she goes, God goes with her. Let that adventure begin. You can subscribe today at mytruegirl.com/subscription.